Okay. All right. We're going to continue with laying a good foundation, part four tonight. All right. Let's go to our two foundational scriptures here. Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews 2, we're going to first three scriptures there. Therefore, we ought to give them our earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense and reward. Well, three, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? So we're talking about how Jesus, he laid these foundations when he, you know, showed up. He was separated to his ministry, and he began to go about the countryside and began to teach about the kingdom of God and the ways of the kingdom of God. So why do we do what we do? I hope you've learned something from the first three parts about why we do what we do. And if somebody asks you a question, well, why do you do that? Would you be able to give an answer? That calling Pastor Carly. All right, Hebrews 6. Verse 1, it says, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on into perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. That's the one we're going to talk about tonight, faith toward God. Of the doctrine of baptisms and of laying on of hands and of resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. And this will we do if God permit. All right. God wants us to know these things and be grounded in these things. And it's saying right here, leaving those first principles. In other words, it doesn't mean don't do them. It means you don't have to relearn them. It's like you don't have to learn to learn addition or subtraction or multiplication or, you know, whatever, the basics that you learn like in elementary school. He's talking about go on to higher revelation in the Lord, but keep these basics. Okay. Faith toward God. Well, we're going to look in the Strong's at what faith is. Faith is persuasion, credence, moral conviction of religious truth, or the truthfulness of God, especially reliance upon Christ for salvation, constancy in such profession, the system of religious or gospel truth itself. So it's just the truth about the gospel. All right? Not only is this true under the new covenant, but it was also true under the old covenant. Abraham walked by faith. He wasn't under the law. All right, James chapter 2. 2:23. And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness. And he was called the friend of God. Ye see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. And it goes on to talk about Rahab. So, what's that saying here? In the old covenant, they walked by faith. God loved faith. God honored faith. God's a faith God, plain and simple. Likewise also, was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead. Old and New Testament. This isn't just a New Testament concept. This is God, period. This is God's way. All right, go to Genesis 1. Like I said, he didn't want the law. He didn't want the sacrifices, the bloods of bulls and goats and things. That, you know, he wanted them to walk by faith and believe him. All right, let's go here to verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. How did he do it? Well, the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Right here, it says the Spirit was brooding, thinking deeply. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. Now we know, you can go through the whole Genesis account and see, and God said, and it was. All right? This is faith in operation. This is how God made the worlds. Hebrews talks about that. All right? Now let's go over to Hebrews 11. People think, well, you know, this faith stuff is just a new concept. No, it isn't. God's a faith God. He's not any other kind of God. I mean, he does a lot of things, has a lot of attributes, characteristics, but he is a faith God. All right? Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Think about it. Think about Numbers chapter 13 and 14, whenever the children of Israel were going to go in and Moses sent them to spy out the land. And Joshua and Caleb were the only one that had the good report. And they're the only ones that lived to go in. Yeah. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. And then it goes on to talk about the Faith Hall of Fame, about all these different ones that used their faith. Anybody that's anybody in the Word of God used their faith. That's just a basic principle of the faith. And a lot of people know nothing about the word of faith. They don't understand it. They don't want to know anything about it. But this is the very foundation of our faith right here. All right. Can you see here that God has always been a faith God? Yeah, you can by the scriptures. That is the way he operates, and that is the way he always wants us to operate. Those in the old covenant, those in the new covenant, period. All right? For one that would want to please God, then that would be the thing that you would desire is faith right here. This is verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So if you want to please God, you use your faith. God's not going to be pleased with those that don't use their faith. Now, I'm not saying they're going to hell. I'm just saying what the scriptures are saying. It says it's not possible to please him without faith. So if you live and die your whole life and never use your faith, well, I mean, you had to use your faith if you were born again. You could not become born again without using your faith, right? We'll see that. Okay. The new covenant is appropriated by faith. That's how it comes into play in a person's life. All right. We're going to look at some areas here. I don't understand. Well, I guess I understand because at a time we didn't realize this either. We didn't know this. We weren't taught this until, well, who's the first person we ever heard? Charles Capps. Danny's mother had been to a seminar, one of Brother Hagin's faith seminars, and Charles Capps was the guest speaker, and she brought the tapes home. And Danny was listening to him, and he said, oh, you really need to listen to these. Nah, I don't want to listen to them, you know. Listen to a bunch of boring tapes. Well, when I finally did, within 48 hours, I was a different person. My whole world changed just from hearing about faith. And, I mean, it hadn't stopped since. It was crucial. I mean, I was a powerless, didn't have any, what do you call it, Well, I was a lukewarm Christian. Had no motivation, didn't want to read, certainly didn't want to pray, even though I was filled with the Holy Spirit. But when the faith came into the realm there where, you know, you could have what you say, that changed my world. And it was for the better, too. Even though, you know, we didn't learn a lot of things we know today, it took us a lot of years to get there. All right. Acts chapter 3, verse 16. I remember somebody saying, well, I just don't like that verse. I know we please God, even if we don't use our faith. I'm just telling you what the scripture says. I just don't agree with that. Well, okay, you know. You don't have to agree with it. A lot of those that didn't agree with it, you know, it didn't fare very well for them. All right, this is Acts 3:16. And his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom ye see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. So we see this man was healed by faith. This is God's system. So healing, restoration, and perfect soundness. Right here, perfect soundness in the presence of you all. I didn't look up what perfect and soundness what meant, but I mean, it kind of says it was a complete work. It wasn't a partial work. Yeah? Look at some more. Acts chapter 6. Verse 5. And the saying, please, let me give you a little background. They were complaining, the Hebrews right here, it says here in verse 1, in those days when the number of the disciples were multiplied, there arose murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily administration. So the 12 disciples or apostles decided there was 12, Matthias. But anyway, they decided that they needed to pick out some people to take care of this daily distribution of food. Right here, verse 5. And the same pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, and a group of these others, Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch, whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid hands on them. And the word increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. It's even called the faith. And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. Full of faith. You know, I think a person full of faith will be someone that God can use in miracles. I can't see how you could do it any other way, right? All right. Acts 11. Verse 19. Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phoenice and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and great number believed and turned unto the Lord. Then tidings of these things came into the ears of the church, which was in Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas, that he should go as far as Antioch, who when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all, that with purpose of heart that they would cleave unto the Lord, for he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith. And much people were added unto the Lord. Full of faith. Well, I read to you what faith means. Let's look at it again, right here. All right, faith means persuasion, credence, moral conviction of religious truth, or the truthfulness of God, especially reliance upon Christ for salvation, constancy in such profession. That means they speak it. The system of religious or the gospel truth itself. Yeah? Y'all get that? All right. These that minister were full of the Holy Ghost and faith. It caused people to be added to the Lord. You know, Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. But what is he saying? Follow my faith. Follow my faith. Isn't that what we did when we were learning about faith? We followed those that we saw that put it into practice. That's who we learned from. To be a person that somebody could actually learn to follow, you know, and learn to operate their faith. Because really, everything that we'll ever need in God will come that way. Whether it's financial need or something in your body or a situation, faith. Prayer of faith shall save the sick, the Lord shall raise him up. Learning to pray the prayer of faith, learning to have faith, operating in faith, and when you come across anybody with confidence, you can just lay a hand on somebody and say, be healed. See why you need somebody full of faith? I don't want somebody praying for me that's all can't do anything, don't have any victory in their life. Why do I want somebody like that praying for me? I don't. I want somebody that I know they get answers. That's why people call me, because I get answers. Or I'll pray till I do. I've had many over the years. Now, I don't always heed it. Well, would you pray for me? Yes, I will. Lord said this. I don't think I want to do that, you know. But nonetheless, that's how people of faith operate. Let's keep going here. Romans 10. I did read 11, didn't I? Did I read 11? Did I just read 11, Acts 11? If I didn't, let's go back there. Yes, I did. Okay. All right, Romans 10, 1. Brethren, my heart's desire, this is Paul. My heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. See, a lot of people, they desire a lot of things, but if it's not a faith, it's not according to knowledge. It's just book learning. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. A lot of people don't want to use their faith. They want to pray, CBN, or used to be TBN, or your local prayer chain to get their answers. And they're hoping somebody there knows how to use their faith because they ain't got a clue. For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise. Say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above? Or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring up Christ again from the dead? But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So he's talking right here. There is no difference between Jew and Gentile. There's such a big difference made in the world. Like, we're just the goyim, we're scum in their sight. And that's not how God intended for it to be. No, it was the way of faith for the Jew, like Abraham, and for us. You should safely say that this is a total faith operation. Habakkuk 2:4 says, but the just shall live by faith. It was so in the old covenant too. I don't know how it didn't get transferred very well. Because when you are so steeped in doing all these things, ordinances, all these things, it totally goes against the grain and the opposite to walk by faith. Well, I don't see it. Well, yeah, but you believe it. All right. Even Jesus, when he was here, he taught his disciples faith. He walked by faith. He was an example before them. All right, let's keep going here. In the 3 years of his ministry, he spent a lot of time teaching the disciples just about this. All right, and it was impossible. I picked out some out of Matthew. The Gospels are full of faith, about faith. Jesus walking by faith. Okay, Matthew 6. Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for the raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? So if you're a person that's always in care, always trying to take care of theirself, like I've said this, and I'll tell this on myself, the Y2K thing. I mean, the church world blew it so out of proportion, and everybody blew it out of proportion. I said, the only thing that came out of Y2K for me was I put water in the top of the closet, and it leaked out and ruined the boards in the top of the closet. We see the same thing today. Make sure you got your Patriot supply, you know. Oh, you better stock up a month's worth of food. You better make sure you got generators. You better make sure you got extra petrol and all of that. You know what? It wouldn't surprise me if we never have to use any of it. The Lord's never said to take a care about any of it. Not any of it. None. Not even get all your money out of the bank. And then you listen to somebody else. No, keep it in the bank. What are we supposed to do? We're supposed to listen to God and act accordingly. What you have in your heart, what God has spoken to you, you do. Because a lot of these, you know, I talked about the Patriots, you know. A lot of these people, they make money when you buy Patriot Supply. Faith is how we receive our supply. Now, when Jesus came across people that didn't have faith, he called them out. And when he came across people that had faith, great faith, whatever, he called them out. And we're going to read some of those. All right, Matthew 8, 5. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him, saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home, sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, my servant shall be healed. For I'm a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, verily, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. Boy, what a testimony. And him being a centurion, he was probably Roman, not Hebrew. This man got it. He got it. And Jesus commended him for it. Matthew 9, 2. And behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. And when Jesus seen their faith and said unto the sick of the palsy, son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. And beheld, certain of the scribes said within themselves, this man blasphemeth. And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, wherefore think ye evil in your hearts? For whether it is easier to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and walk. But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, then saith he to the sick of the palsy, arise, take up thy bed, and go into thy house. And he arose and departed to his house. And when the multitude saw it, they marveled and glorified God, which had given such power unto men. I don't know how many people in this area have prayed, God, send us someone to help us. Send us, you know, and then when they come, they don't recognize them. And they end up persecuting them and hurting them. Seen it happen over and over again. I've had it happen to me. Not holding grudges against anybody, but it's like, oh, Lord, send me somebody that'll show me what to do. But they can't recognize it when it comes. Yeah. All right, Matthew 15. All the Pharisees wanted to do, because Jesus was getting popular and they weren't. They wanted to kill him. That didn't stop him. All right, 15. Matthew 15, 21. Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievous vexed with the devil. And he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to the dogs. And she said, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Yeah. Even the outcast got it. Faith, power God gave to man to do what we need to get done. Mark 11, which we all know this one, backwards and forwards. To speak to our situations and circumstances by faith. I'm not going to read the whole thing, just 22 through 24. And Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. So faith believes. Right? Doesn't doubt, it believes. All right, let's go over to Romans 4. Four thirteen. Now we know Abraham, it was credited to him because he believed God. It was credited to him as righteousness. Bypassed, the law wasn't in place at that time. But even when the law was in place, faith overrode that. All right, 13. For the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. I wish people would get this. It's all about faith. It's all about that inside walk. It's not about doing all these things, building big institutions or whatever you want to do. It's not about that. If the Lord says do that, do that. But my thing is, that right there, if we could just get a revelation of that. For if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void, and the promise made of not effect. Because the law worketh wrath, for there is no, where no law is, there is no transgression. Therefore, see, that's why there's no condemnation to those in Christ Jesus. When you're bought by faith, you're not subject to the law. But what do the Pharisees do? They come out there, nah, you're breaking the Sabbath. Condemnation. Isn't it right? You're not doing it the way we do it here. Well, I'm doing it by faith. That's God's way. Well, we do it this way here. We don't want your kind here. That's what the disciples were telling that woman following them. She's crying after us. Tell her to go away. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace. To the end, the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but that to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. See, the Pharisees, they didn't walk after Father Abraham. As it is written, I made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were. What happened in Genesis 1? He called those things that be not as though they were. The earth was out far and void, and God said, light. Light be, light was. Who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And be not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not of the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. And therefore it is imputed to him for righteousness. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace through God, through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. God likes faith. He likes it when you use your faith. He honors it when you use your faith. All right. When Jesus saw people that didn't use their faith, he rebuked them. We saw one. You got weak faith here. He called it out. Let's go back to Matthew. This is Matthew chapter 14. There's just two masters. You remember that, right? So one's of faith, the other isn't. Matthew 6 talks about the two masters. One is care-filled, depending on your own means and all of those things, and the other is not taking the thought at all. What did I tell y'all, 14? And straightway, Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him into the other side while he sent the multitudes away. When he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray, and when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It is a spirit, and they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and called to him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Yeah. Matthew 17. Like I told you, there's so many. I just had to pick a few. All right, this is verse 14, 17, 14. And when they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic and sore vexed. For oft times he falleth into the fire and oft into the water. And I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples of Jesus apart and said, Why could not we cast him out? Jesus said unto them, Because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, Remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. You know, if you must ask people just in church, just churchy people, what is the doctrine of the faith? What do you think they tell you? You're probably getting a whole multitude of different kind of answers. Matthew 23:23. Jesus spoke to the Pharisees and said, Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. Am I in the right place? Let me look. Yeah? Okay. For ye pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought you have done and not to leave the other undone. It was all about the rules and regulations, but it didn't have anything to do with mercy and faith. All right, let's keep going. It's all about natural things. You know, if I don't see it, and if you pray for me and I don't see it, then by the next day, we got to get us a prescription, or we got to call the doctor, or we got to do something, I remember somebody asking, I believe it was Keith Moore, or it was in one of his teachings, God's Will to Heal. He said, somebody said, well, I got prayed for 3 years ago and I haven't seen any manifestation. He says, so what? Does that change the fact? It doesn't. So what? It's not based on how long. It's based on faith, believing. There are certain petitions we've been speaking for a long time, and it doesn't seemingly be any manifestation. In fact, I'd say probably some opposite of what the petition says. Does that mean we quit? Does that mean we just forget about it? Well, I guess we didn't pray in faith, or I guess we just need to give up. No, you just keep on trucking. It's what you do. Okay, Acts 26. Verse 18. right here, Paul, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inherit among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. She's talking to King Agrippa here. What? This is his, was his mission. Yeah. 28, Acts 28. You might understand that a little more when I read this to you. 28, starting with 23. Is that right? Let me think. Yeah, that's right. Okay. And when they had appointed him a day, there came many to him into his lodging. This is Paul, to whom he expounded and testified the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus, both out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets, from morning until evening. Some believed the things which were spoken, and some believed not. And when they agreed not among themselves, they departed. After that Paul had spoken one word, well spake the Holy Ghost by Isaiah the prophet unto our fathers, saying to this people, and say, hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see, and not perceive. For the heart of this people is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, lest they should see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. Be it known, therefore, unto you that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles, and that they will hear it. And when he had said these words, the Jews departed in great reasoning with great and had great reasoning among themselves. But it didn't stop Paul. And Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own house, hired house, and received all that came in unto him, preaching the gospel of God and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no man forbidding him. His heart was to reach out to his brethren. But the guests couldn't hear it. Yeah, I think he probably spent his whole life with that endeavor to try to cause that. But he turned to the Gentiles because he said, they'll believe. Okay, Romans chapter 9. Just a few more, we'll be done. Starting with verse 1 there. I say the truth in Christ, I lie not. My conscience also bear me witness in the Holy Ghost that I have a great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh, who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law and the service of God and the promises, whose are the fathers and of whom are concerning the flesh Christ came, who is over all, God blessed forever, amen. Not as though the word of God hath taken none effect, for they are not all Israel which are of Israel. Neither because they are the seed of Abraham are they all children, but in Isaac shall thy seed be called. That is, they which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted for the seed. For this is the word of promise. At this time will I come, and Sarah shall have a son. And not only this, but when Rebekah also had conceived by one, even by her father Isaac, for the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth, it was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, and Esau have I hated. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. For he saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. For the scripture saith unto Pharaoh, even for this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. Therefore hath he mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will he hardeneth. Thou wilt say then unto me, why doth he yet find fault? For who hath resisted his will? Nay, but, O man, who art thou that rebellest against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? Hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor? What if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much longsuffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction? And that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy which he had afore prepared unto glory, even us whom he hath called, not of the Jews only, but also the Gentiles. As he saith also in Osee, I will call thee my people, which were not my people, and her beloved, which was not beloved. And it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said, the place where it was said unto them, ye are not my people, there shall they be called the children of the living God. Esaias also crieth concerning Israel, though the number of the children of Israel be as the sand of the sea, a remnant shall be saved. For he will finish the work and cut it short in righteousness, because a short work will the Lord make upon the earth. And as Esaias said before, except the Lord of Sabbath had left us a seed, we had been as Sodom and been like unto Gomorrah. What shall we say then? That the Gentiles, which follow not after righteousness, have attained to righteousness, even the righteousness which is of faith. But Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, hath not attained to the law of righteousness. Wherefore, because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law, for they stumbled at the stumbling stone. As it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone, a rock of offense, and whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Here's that struggle here. You know, they couldn't accept it. So they lost out. And I believe Paul was sad about this. It's not about our heritage, our lineage. It's about faith. It's about embracing God by faith, what's offered to us. All right, let's go to Galatians right quick. A couple more and we'll be done. Galatians 3:26. For we are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you be Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. What does it do? It bypasses the law. All right, one more, Ephesians 2. This is some of my favorite passage right here. I just would like to get the right Jew sometime and just talk to him about it. And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins. Verse 1. Wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you're saved, hath raised us up together, made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, and not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. And this part right here is the part I like the best, over here in verse 14. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace. And that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which are far off and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father, and that's by faith. both by faith. You know, I'm so glad that I found out about all of that, that all of that, that really it was the Jews, the Khazarian mafia that came with all this stuff, that they're, you know, you don't touch Israel and you don't do this and you don't do that and we're better than you and you better defer to us and you better, and it's always about we gotta make it the capital, we gotta do all these things. God abolished all of that. Every stinking thing. They just hadn't realized it yet. Maybe we need to pray for Israel, not for the fact that the people have been indoctrinated to believe, but to pray for them to know the Lord Jesus. Right?